morning. Today is Friday, June the 5th, 155th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager, Greg Sparks. Hey, guy.
Great to be here, Brian.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
It's Friday.
It's great to be anywhere on a Friday. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's been a long week.
So. I would imagine. Sorry, we're just going to lengthen it just a wee little bit for the next hour or so.
Okay.
After our quote of the day, which comes from George Eliot, sometime between 1819 and 1880, said, quote, "I would not creep along that coast, but steer out in mid-sea by guidance of the stars." I know it's a little bit of a stretch, but as we talk about budgets, it'll come into play really quickly.
I'm going to see how you tie that in.
You like that one, huh? Okay. I would think, Greg, that there's a temptation by, I guess, senior staff. Is that the fair descriptor of the department heads and then the folks inside City Hall that work closely to you? Is that a fair working phrase I can use?
Senior staff, I've heard that. I call them the management team.
Okay.
Whichever you prefer.
Management team works also. When it comes to budgets, there are a couple things I think everybody grasps. One, it's a shot in the dark. You don't know what this upcoming year is, but you need to have some guidelines and some mileposts and some directionals. That's what the budget provides. Okay.
Right.
Two, an awful lot of the numbers that are put down are based either on historical trends, black and white, mm-hmm. or intuition, experience.
Right. Bit of a combination of that in terms of historical trends. And certainly our big revenue source is sales tax. And we work closely. HDL is our sales tax consultant. We either have a meeting with them or a phone conference quarterly to understand what's going on sales tax-wise, both in Eureka, Humboldt County, and statewide. And so I think we've got that's less intuition and more some just pretty good data to work from.
And that's the quarterly reports that you get, the sales tax
yes.
reports. So you can see those trends. How current are they?
Those are very current. So you're typically about a quarter behind.
Okay, so we're coming up at the end of June is the end of the second quarter.
Right.
Somewhere around early July, you'll get first quarter numbers.
Yes,
March.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a pretty good sense of...
Right. It's not a long lag time. And there are interesting trends that you see from certainly just the year I've been here in terms of how strong new car sales have been, what's going on at the big boxes.
The attention-getting elements of the report that you look for.
Sure. You look for those. And you look for, quite frankly, newcomers who've moved into, say, our top, in terms of sales tax revenue coming in of, newer businesses.
The top 10, so to speak, that you're looking at to get that sense. Now, I know that's proprietary information.
Yes.
So I won't ask. However, do department heads have access to that cumulative information? So if their budget is comprised of, let's say, I'm Department X, and 50% of my funding comes from general fund tax dollars, I sure as heck want to know what the trend is for today, for tomorrow, for next year, for this year. I want to avoid that surprise month 10 saying, oh, by the way, we just took $150,000 from your budget for this year.
Right. And, we provide counsel with those quarterly reports. I know we've also...
Well, you have to get it. I wasn't paying attention. It's 8:19.
Listening to Destination Radio. If you live here on California's North Coast or on the Curry Coast of Oregon, we're here to help you with things to do and places to see that are not too far from home. If you're visiting our beautiful area, we'll tell you about the events and destinations that will make you want to stay a little longer. What roads to take for spectacular scenery, where to hike in the forests and over the sand dunes, where to ride your bike or paddle a canoe. Coming soon to a radio near you, 790 AM, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to continue the question that I asked before the break and realized we had a break with Greg Sparks. Greg, to kind of reset for folks that have joined us, with this Eureka City Council and Eureka City with the budget and department heads, we were talking about sales tax projections and monitoring the actual what's going on. Since most departments are general fund sourced somehow, which means that's how the tax dollars get spent,
yes,
by and large.
Right.
How aggressive are they in getting the information and adjusting their budgets based on what the sales tax is? If sales tax goes up 10% this year, yeah, I'm not going to want to wait till next year. I'm going to say, hey, I need XYZ income for supplemental budget. On the other hand, if it's going the other direction, I'm going to see it in the tea leaves also and say, okay, guys, we got to ramp down and start making those adjustments now so it's not a 90-degree shift come January or July or whatever the quarterly adjustment period might be.
Well, it's not so much that department directors are going in and studying that kind of information. But after finance director myself, and now starting in this last quarter, Rob Holmland, our development services director, because Rob had a real interest in being involved in those in-depth discussions because, you know, he's in charge of economic development. He wants to understand those trends. But we'll bring that back to...
I can understand his concern that he might want
right.
to with that job. Yeah,
that's right. So certainly if we see something that... is of concern that, say, one sector appears to be trending down or something, we're going to bring that back to the management team. And if there's some kind of red flag there where we say, you know, so we're coming up on mid-year or whatever time in that budget process, we need to be thinking about some, you know, mid-year reductions, you know, that we're in tune to that. Now, that wasn't the case this year.
Well, if you're going to answer my questions before I ask them, fine. I'll sit back.
I guess that's what happened when I would do this for a year with you.
Yeah, long enough. Yeah, that would be the most obvious question. Yeah. Is okay, so seeing what hit everybody last month, why wasn't that in January to kind of get everybody a little bit more comfortable with it and maybe start making those adjustments a little earlier?
Because it wasn't a revenue change. Our sales tax revenues continued to track upward. The few drivers in the budget that impacted departments more this time around were the continuing increase in pension costs. Not huge increase, but it's been a steady four-year trend. And I know we've talked about this before, where it's gone up by $1 million over a four-year period. The other thing was we've been seeing quite a trend up on workers' comp rates. Related to several factors, our own injury history, as well as that of the 17-city REMIF that we're part of our insurance pool.
So the self-insured group.
Yes. And so particularly for this year, what was a little troubling is we had an increase in work comp going into this next year, even though as of January 1st, the Humboldt Bay Fire is no longer part of our work comp pool. Our rates were based on the previous 3 years of history. So in a sense, we've taken 40 employees out of it, and rates continue to go up, and that increase got spread out over the remaining departments. Now, right, it's logical.
So the self-insured group is not recognizing that you've got 40 of the higher driving exposure employees in the group for 3 years?
Yes, and based upon...
Do you have a cattle prod? I mean, yeah, right. Knock them smart. I mean, that's stupid.
You know, if we'd reduced our employee complement by 50% for some reason, you shouldn't have a rate.
So you say the cops go out on their own also, so now you don't have the two primary ones.
Yeah.
So, and you still have to pay for them for 3 years?
So we need to continue to kind of drive that with them, because that's been, that is just kind of a significant driver and cost from where work comp was a few years ago to where we're up to now. You know, it's gone up by, it's really has doubled in about 4 or 5 years' time.
So with that as a backdrop, does it make sense to stay part of the pool?
I'd say that's worth looking at. Absolutely. Certainly anytime you go out, they're going to look at what your experience rating has been But right, that's a concern when you've got that kind of cost, and we didn't get the kind of recognition on taking employees out of that pool.
Is that a structural thing that the group had when the agreement came to fruition, or is this majority vote saying, no, we need your money because somebody else's has gone up?
I think it was kind of the way the structural rules were set up, and certainly we have a vote, and if it had been more of a board decision, we could have made that case.
So that's like a double compounding then.
Yeah, it really is.
You got the retirement aging continuing on the super high stuff that was done before, and now you make a move, mm-hmm. and it's not reflected.
Right. So, right, as you said, kind of a double whammy. The bright side, even if we're not able to get that changed, it will go down as our experience with less employees and moving forward and not counting those Humboldt Bay Fire against the cost.
So I'm sure you did, or I'd like to think the finance manager had done, if the 40 were accounted for and it was reflected, because those 40 aren't just an average 40, what would the impact have been?
Our estimate is about $150,000 from that piece.
Per year?
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, the city manager for Eureka. Greg, you guys had a couple series of public events this week. I did not hear that blood was flowing on the street, but I know that there was an awful lot of emotional angst going into it. For folks that may have missed the last couple of days, at City Hall, what happened?
Right, we had two budget work sessions, Wednesday and Thursday, and Wednesday was police, fire, public works, and that brought out a standing room only crowd in the council chambers, as well as some people into our overflow room to watch it, and you know, really some pretty significant presentations by both the chiefs in terms of helping the council and I think the public to understand what was being proposed, and from the Humboldt Bay Fire standpoint, which is a joint powers agreement, it's no longer the City of Eureka Fire Department, is that with the budget reductions, what the chief was getting at was the only way to really reduce his overtime expense was, as he said, to brown Station 4, the Myrtle Avenue station, which means it would be closed approximately 200 to 260 days a year, so that those employees would be used to backfill other employees that were off on work comp, sick, vacation, training, versus bringing someone in off duty on overtime. So it was really geared to drive down that overtime expense, but of course it had the negative impact. It does impact services when you close a fire station or significantly close it. So quite a bit of discussion about that.
Certainly about the fire station specifically?
Right, in terms then of what that does in terms of service levels and that area of the community. And certainly had people there who made comments to the council who had those concerns about, you know, what does this do in terms of
response time,
whether it's a fire or it's a medical. You know, most of the calls that are run out of there are, I think, if I remember the chief's numbers, it was over 60% were medical calls.
Probably three or four primary addresses because of the neighborhood construction.
Right.
Yeah, configuration.
And, from Chief Mills' standpoint, with the $834,000 budget reduction. It was the PSO's positions and public safety officer. These are civilian positions, as well as changes to animal control, and really trying to, in a sense, kind of cheapen that down, kind of pulling out of the county facility. What happened then, as we worked through all this, so that basically the council put money back in to keep animal control the way it was and to hire back one additional position back into the police department. And that, you know, there's a lot of, and the reason we were able to do that was since the budget was presented to council, we identified about another $77,000 in general fund savings through some additional reductions we made in other areas, as well as we did then propose an increase in the zoo admission fees of $1. That created about another $70,000 in revenue. We could reduce the amount of general fund subsidy to the zoo. So, and then we did some additional reductions with some of our outside providers. So we came up with about $200,000 to put back into the police department.
So that allowed then Andy not to have to go as deep as what he was initially anticipating?
That's right. That's right.
How was that received?
I think the council liked the compromise, but really by the time that decision was made kind of late yesterday, there really wasn't too much, you know, public that was still there at the meeting. I know from the chief's standpoint, Chief Mills, I'm sure he liked, obviously, you know, not having to make as difficult reductions as he had earlier proposed.
Now, fire and cops are going to be the two that get most attention.
Yes.
Public works, though, is a whole different ball game, because I don't think a lot of folks make that connection to paving streets, for example, or a leaky fire hydrant or pipe until it happens. Bang. So it goes from 0 to 100 in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
Was public works discussion as well followed?
You know, it isn't. You know, it's we didn't have those people with please keep our public works. But the big difference is, you know, I thought Brian Gervian, our public works director, made a nice presentation in terms of helping the council and the public understand that. I mean, he has a large department, but it's water, it's sewer, and of that large department, only $1 million of his funding is general fund. Out of our $25 million general fund, only $1 million of that goes to public works.
I'd suggest you drop the only.
Okay. Well, $1 million doesn't sound like a lot when you're talking about $25 million, but $1 million is a lot of money.
4% of the general fund goes to public works. Okay.
We have, in addition to water, there's highway user tax money. That's money that can't be put into police or fire. That's money that goes into street overlays. But, you know, that's not a large amount of money, and it has not been a growing amount of money in the last year or two.
Well, and as you look at the streets in Eureka, obviously, it's not enough either.
We are spending less on street overlays now than we did 30 years ago, not even adjusted for inflation.
Real, just a dollar
in
number.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, quite frankly, is scary. We should be spending 3 to 4 times as much as what we are just to be keeping up.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 845. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, so where does the city of Eureka go from here? Obviously, you've got a fiscal year approaching,
right,
short term. You've taken some input from department heads and your management guys formally in public, as well as I'm sure that there were some meat grinding sessions that we were not allowed to observe. What happens at this point? Is the budget now pretty well set and there's a vote next week? Is this information being taken under submission and now the five electeds are going to massage it? What's going on now?
No, we really kind of did that massaging at the end of the work session last night and found some council consensus on a direction forward. And the budget will be on for council approval on June 16th. Public will have an opportunity to comment again. Council could still do some additional fine-tuning, but I think for the most part we got it to where they're satisfied with where it's at.
Did you bring in, and I don't mean to interrupt, yeah, I guess I do.
It's your show, Brian.
to bring in from, not a budget advisory committee, because that's a little, but to bring in, let's say, four or five business guys and say, here's what we have. What efficiencies do you see? Where are we missing? Yeah, even if it's like consolidated purchasing of office equipment. You know, you got one person or supplies and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, are all the synergies in place? Do you have confidence that that's all in place? Or does each department kind of operate within their own little fiefdom and nobody gets that total maximum purchase discounting if you bought, you know, 10,000 things instead of three guys each buying six?
There's more we can do there. I mean, we do have collaborative purchasing among departments, but I think we can tighten more things up in that area. You know, we are, quite frankly, constantly looking at how do we improve, whether it's processes, improve technology, how to hopefully, you know, work smarter. Certainly the program the chief brought, Chief Mills, last year on a new records management system that will save officer time. That's going to be implemented this fall. So, you know, you spend some upfront money on technology, but then you get much better reporting and much better efficient use of officers' time. So a report isn't, in a sense, kind of entered three times. It's only entered once. So you look for those kind of things and how you can improve systems. You know, we also received this Business Ready grant. Development Services Department brought in a lot of business people to have discussion about what are we doing in terms of our city processes. In some cases, we think there's some things we can do from an ordinance improvement standpoint. Some is just more how we process things and where we can look for efficiencies. And some is some staff training type issues. So all those will be looked at as part of that Business Ready grant and working with kind of the development community in terms of how we try to do some of those kinds of improvements.
As you look at the city, and obviously there's concern with safety, just with the turnout, let alone the aggressive passions reflected there also, was there anything addressed specifically to homeless and some of those impediments for the community, not only to feel safe, but to attract new business, to grow business, to have a healthier and safer community?
Right. Certainly from the public standpoint, they want to make sure we have plenty of cops on the street. You know, one of the things that, you know, the city has put in a proposal for Measure Z funding, you know, not a very large piece of the overall Measure Z funding, but it would fund two police officers and funding for Department of Health and Human Services to work together with the mobile intervention service team. And that is specifically addressed as part of our homeless implementation plan. So I know those meetings are with the county are coming up next week. So.
But as far as the budget itself that you guys have full control over, there was nothing specifically addressing those areas?
Only that we need to continue with the cleanup of the camps and continue with the enforcement efforts that we've been trying to be more aggressive with in the last couple of months.
It'll be an interesting week for you next week. Now, word's out. Let's see how things come down. Is there still opportunity for input, or is it pretty much contact your city council?
You know, it's pretty much contact your city council member and at the public meeting on the 16th.
We've been Talking Shop with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday for more Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Until you love, see you tomorrow morning.